ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
All black, everything. Black cars, black cars. All black, everything. And our girls are black first. Riding with they cylinder. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is like familiar.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a player ranking and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
Hello and good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com. Thank you so much for joining us. For those folks listening live, as well as those folks downloading later, we genuinely appreciate your support, wherever you may be. Today's a special playoff edition, reviewing the wild card round and looking forward to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Today is January 13th at 10:30 p.m. It is BFD time, my friends. We have, messing with the schedule a little bit here, trying to get a little bit later into the week as mine and Dave schedules permit, try to get you a little more up-to-date information as you prepare for Fantasy Madness in the divisional round here. With that, I'll go ahead and bring on our co-host, Dave Terpoli, affectionately known as Dave Terp in these parts, and writer for BFD. Dave, how are you tonight?
Doing well. A lot of great games this weekend. Should be a fun one.
Oh, man. Really some wild games. That, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game is, one of the wildest in recent memory that I can think of, with thinking the game was over a couple of times in those last few minutes. We got a great show lined up for you. We'll do a review of kind of a bit of what we saw last week. We'll talk about some of the injuries and the implications those might have for this weekend. And I think we'll have time to break down each individual game quickly. That being said, again, for those who haven't gotten on over to the website, please do bfdfantasyfootball.com. We've got a ton of great content still through the Super Bowl. For those who haven't opened a new account from our homepage with our partners over at DraftKings.com and save 50% off the remainder of the BFD Fantasy Football subscription. And Dave does his great weekly picks on Saturday, so make sure and check those out for our friends over at DraftKings. We'll chat a little bit about our DraftKings lineups a bit tonight. With that being said, maybe we can jump right into some playoff sort of injury news and see what the latest greatest is here on Wednesday as we head into the Saturday and Sunday games. I don't really have them by team. I just kind of got them by position, but we'll just run through the list here prior to our game-by-game breakdowns. Does that sound good, Dave?
Yeah, sounds good. Let's do it.
Cool, man. Jeremy Maclin didn't practice today. Andy Reid says he may practice tomorrow, Friday, so no real definitive information out about him for this weekend's game. They called it a mild high ankle sprain, which is saying it's not bad to serious, not a ton of information there to go off of. You got any inclinations, or are you hearing anything different?
No, I don't see there being any way he's out there. I mean, if he is, what an incredible turn of events and would be a humongous boost to the Chiefs. But realistically, I don't think he'll be out there. I mean, very, very tough injury, high ankle sprain. I mean, they thought it was going to be a lot worse, but I don't expect him to be out there. If he is, he can't be much more than 60%, 70% maybe.
Well, like you said, it was fairly severe. They were looking at it as ACL. Lucky he didn't tear that. And, then looking at his ankle and, like I said, mild high ankle sprain. High ankle sprain, of course, being, the worst version of the ankle sprain. And then with the designation of mild, giving, I think, some fantasy player hopes that, you know, then anything's possible there. But I agree with you. Probably a long shot to play, and if he does play, he's probably hindered a little bit. What do you think that means for the Chiefs' passing attack?
A humongous loss in just the passing attack, obviously, and most importantly, the game, because Jeremy Maclin gave them a dimension that they don't have in that offense. I mean, they're going to be looking at the Albert Wilsons and the Chris Conleys of the world and probably a lot of Travis Kelce. I don't see there being any way possible unless Tom Brady gets hurt or, you know, the defense just makes a lot of plays that they have any chance in this game. I just don't see it.
Yeah, Kansas City's fairly banged up. And, boy, these bye weeks make a huge difference. You know, what a difference a week's make from being on the sidelines to, you know, being in some really hard-fought battles. You know, even my Denver Broncos, I'm feeling pretty good about this weekend. I wasn't feeling too good about them a week ago. We'll get to there. You know, also with the Chiefs here, Spencer Ware didn't practice today. Unclear whether he was injured or what, but, you know, something to, I guess, stay tuned on there, obviously. West getting the bulk of the carries and being somewhat unspectacular in that role. With the Chiefs expected to trail, you think West has got any upside with Ware's out?
Absolutely. I mean, just like we said last week, you know, the big contest that we enter on DraftKings and, you know, some of the millionaires and even head-to-head will be won this week by just total wild cards at every position, especially at the running back position. Outside of David Johnson, there's no sure thing at running back. I mean, you could literally, especially on Kansas City, if Ware's back, which he should be, but you don't know. I mean, it's an early Saturday game, so, I mean, he's not really getting that much time to heal. West, if he's out, West is almost an automatic play. I mean, I would think Johnson, West would be your pretty much go-to in every single lineup this week, especially on DraftKings. But it's definitely two injuries you really got to watch heavily because, especially West, I mean, he's a guy that could be an absolute must in your lineup if Ware's out because – outside of them, they really have Niall Davis, who clearly isn't in favor of Andy Reid outside of, you know, kick returning.
Clearly. Good Lord. What happened to that guy? He was supposed to be the next great back in Kansas City.
But that's Andy Reid.
You know, I will say they've been, you know, Ware hasn't been getting a ton of use over the last few weeks, but you do think there's substantial additional upside
if he's out. Week, so, I mean, if he's out or he's not 100% or he's maybe just a decoy, I mean, West is as close to an automatic, in my opinion, as you'll find this week. I mean, values pretty much get thrown out of the water this week, you know, especially if Antonio Brown's not playing, which I still think he'll play. But if for any reason he doesn't play, I mean, everybody value-wise is pretty much the same. So,
yeah, I guess just the Andy Reid backs have been disappointing me a little bit more recently. But like you said, perhaps if they're concentrated one, there's some upside there. You know, moving on from the Chiefs, on to the Packers here. Eddie Lacy limited today, should be good to go. Richard Rodgers also limited, also should be good to go. Davante Adams not practicing and is not expected to play on Sunday. Jared Abreus would probably be the next man up. What do you think the impact is with Adams being out?
I mean, it's pretty much next man up. Adams, you know, made some plays last week, so I don't really expect him to be that big of a loss. I mean, Rodgers, I don't know how long it took him to speed the offense up. I mean, they could tell the first, like, quarter against the Redskins, they were just getting beat up. So it was really, really unexpected, you know, that they were playing that kind of offense. And then they just got the tempo moving. Aaron Rodgers looked comfortable. Jones was making plays. Cobb was making plays. You know, Adams started making some plays. I think it's going to be a big loss, but, I mean – Jared, I can't even say his last name. What's his last name? Abrevimitis or something?
Yeah, Abreus is what I call him, but I don't know if that's really accurate.
I think he'll be pretty serviceable. I mean, and Aaron Rodgers always pumps him up, so I expect this to be not that big of a loss, but a very, very tough matchup.
You know, like you said, Adams made some plays last week. I think it's probably good things for James Jones, who, you know, continues to get a ton of targets. This kind of just ensures that. You know, Randall Cobb, I guess, both still has the most upside. It's difficult to play him, even with an Adams out. But, you know, I guess this has got to give you more confidence in that. Like I said, the Packers, you know, really came on in the second half there. We'll see if their offense is able to continue to click, you know, against a tougher opponent. Of course, they got blown up by Arizona a couple weeks ago. We'll get to that, I guess, here in just a minute when we talk about the breakdowns. Of course, the Chiefs last week surprised me as well. You know, I think the biggest surprise was probably how bad Hoyer really was. You know, I expected him coming back from that injury to have something for us, but he showed that he really does not, and maybe I should have known it. Maybe should have known it. All right, moving on to the Panthers here. Jonathan Stewart, you know, looks to be good to go for this weekend. He returned to practice, so should be okay. Ted Ginn also practicing, also should be good to go, don't you think? So they should be kind of full throttle in Carolina.
Probably full throttle and ready to go. I expect, you know, Carolina. I've been a Carolina hater all season, but I really expect them. This could be this is their moment. I mean, absolutely their moment. So if there's ever a time for, you know, Carolina to prove that 15-1 wasn't a fluke, you got
it.
A team to do. So I mean, I personally think Carolina wins the game, and being healthy is very, very strong against that defense. Cam Newton's playing outstanding football. Hopefully the week off just didn't hurt him, but for some reason I think Carolina gets the job done this week.
Boy, I'm starting to think that way potentially too. Again, what a difference a bye week makes. Moving on to the Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch practiced today. Of course, he practiced last week, pulled himself, but looks like he's going to be good to go. We're kind of in that same situation we were last week, thinking he's going to go, but definitely something to monitor. What did you think of Christine Michael last week?
Who got dominated in touches? I thought he ran good. I mean, he looked great, but, I mean, he's serviceable. I mean, that ugly football game, I mean, it was very, very tough to watch. If you had anybody from a daily perspective,
yeah,
we said it on the show, it was ugly.
Yeah, it really was ugly. And
every single aspect.
You know, the temperature certainly had something to do with it, but, you know, it was even uglier than just the temperatures, I suppose. But, you know, with the number of touches Christine Michael got, you know, over 20, you could see in a different, you know, game flow situation where that could result in a big fantasy day. So definitely something to stay attuned to. Also the Seahawks. Who else are we talking about? Seahawks, Luke Wilson, practicing in full, should be okay. I don't think it's a huge factor in the game, I suppose. And we'll get to the breakdown here a little bit. We'll talk about some of the receivers there. Moving on to the Steelers, probably the biggest news of the week is, you know, that everybody's watching is Big Ben, you know, doesn't know when he'll start throwing, and, you know, may just get mental reps this week, and, you know, whether or not he'll be good to go. I generally suspect that when push comes to shove, he'll be out there, even if he's somewhat limited, like you saw on the last drive last week where he came back on the field and was clearly, you know, not normally himself, but got the job done. D'Angelo Williams back in the walking boot really doesn't look good for this weekend. Fitzgerald Toussaint, you know, pretty decent in his kind of lead role last time. Jordan Todman, of course, making some splash plays as well. But, you know, really they got to lean on Big Ben when they don't have the ability to run the ball. And with Big Ben sort of banged up as well, could be problematic for the Steelers in Denver with, again, you know, sitting and waiting. Antonio Brown, of course, the biggest fantasy news of the week, probably with that hit over the middle, you know, did get into the concussion protocol and didn't practice today. Of course, the game is on Sunday, so, you know, we're hopeful that we'll get him cleared before the game starts on Saturday. What do you think? You think we'll know by Saturday?
Let's first talk about that hit. I mean, I've definitely been biting my tongue a lot this week. And you know,
yeah, what do you got on that?
Waiting for the opportunity for this to talk about it. Number one, the Cincinnati Bengals. Or how Marvin Lewis still has a job is just a complete just shock to me. The guy has never won a playoff game. Never. Is he a good football coach?
They should have won one this last weekend, though.
We'll get to there. I don't understand how a guy keeps his job. I mean, people say, oh, he's made the playoffs. Congratulations. A lot of teams make the playoffs. At the end of the day, if you're not making AFC championship games and you're not making Super Bowls, who cares about you? You're just like everybody else. Houston Texans made the playoffs. How'd they end up? Pretty much the same as the Cincinnati Bengals. You come back in that game, you take the lead, you knock Big Ben out. The whole momentum, you're at home.
With your backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback. Okay, Roethlisberger comes in. you know, the Jeremy Hill fumble is just, I don't know how that happens.
Oh.
Terrible play, but still, how those two penalties happen are just defying to me. I mean, the defensive coordinator, clearly Big Ben couldn't throw down the field. Why was any safety not within 10 yards of their line of scrimmage? Makes no sense. The Vontaze Burfict hit was one of the dirtiest hits I've seen in a long time in football. A lot of people said, oh, he hit him with his shoulder pad. I don't want to hear any of that. Antonio Brown was clearly passed. The ball was clearly past him, clearly defenseless, and Burfict made an absolute – he should have been thrown out of the game. It was an absolute joke of a hit, and there was really no place in the NFL for that.
Wow, then, gosh. I just didn't think it was that egregious, but, you know, I don't know. It's amazing how we can have different outlooks on that because –
To me, as an NFL player in that spot, you have to hold up. I mean, okay.
I thought he did in some regard. Maybe he didn't hold up
enough.
I don't think any part of him.
I watched in slow motion. I watched in 100 different angles. To me, it didn't look like he slowed up at all. And then you got
he could have lit him up. Will you agree with this? He could have lit him up more if he wanted to.
Oh, he could have lit him up more, but he lit him up enough to where, I mean, you can't do that in that spot. I mean, you're in a playoff game. You're – team is clearly driving, you know, against you, and 15 yards, I don't care what happens. I mean, clearly the NFL has turned in the last couple of years. You can't make hits like that.
Mm-hmm.
And hits like that, as to me, as big as they were, I mean, a play like that has no place in the NFL. And
I guess I just don't think that there's that, you know, intent to harm him, you know. I mean, agreed that, you know, the – new onus
never,
really is on the defender.
I'm not going to sit here and say he was trying to hurt him, but
sure. But the onus in the
totally
new NFL
known that you're pulling up, and
yeah,
whether
I
he
agree,
you know,
but,
held back a little bit or not, he still. I mean, you just can't. That can't happen. Not in that spot.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't
Joey
enough
Porter
because
comes on the field, Joey Porter comes on the field. He shouldn't have been on the field. Okay, that's all. I've known that. I talked to thousands of Bengals fans this week that are trying to tell me that it should have been offsetting penalties. Should it have been? Yes. But at the end of the day, Pac-Man Jones, who cares Joey Porter's talking shit on the field? Does it matter? You're in a playoff game. You're leading. A field goal loses you the game.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you even acknowledging Joey Porter?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know, I agree. That's kind of
Joey
a secondary to the
game.
Actual play issue. But, you know, as you pointed out in this new NFL, I agree. The onus really is on the defender to clear out of the way. And even, you know, minus a negative intent, which I think this situation was, you know, minus some intent to hurt them, you know, it's still a penalty if you don't clear out. And I think that's what we saw, I guess, in such a big setting. I understand why it's being analyzed or, you know, put under a microscope a little bit. But again, I'm not looking at it as one of the dirtiest plays ever. You know what I mean? I'm looking at it as kind of an unfortunate set of circumstances that Burfict wasn't able to make the perfect play there and raise up a bit more. But, man, that's a tough situation. You're running full speed. Antonio Brown is a shifty dude. And he didn't lead with his helmet. You know, again, I just I agree it's a penalty. I just don't think it's an egregious violation. Suspension of 3 games I think is ridiculous.
I mean, most of that's just past history. I mean, you saw the hit that he had on Max Williams at the end of the season. I mean,
yeah,
that was another
true
hit. Just can't happen. I mean,
that's true. I mean, it is kind of a build-up.
But how the Bengals lose that game is still just – if I was a Bengals fan in that stadium, I'd probably still be stuck in that stadium. Just in total shock.
Almost as bad as losing your entire franchise, which also happened to a select group of our fans out in St. Louis. How would you feel there, man? I wouldn't even know how to react, man. I would be really hurt.
The worst part about it is most of the fans saw that coming. I mean,
sure.
St. Louis, they knew they were going to lose their
The writing was on the wall, but still,
the writing was
what
on
a
wall.
Gut punch.
Because they knew the same thing happened. But Cincinnati, I mean, you're in that stadium. You storm back with your backup quarterback. A.J. Green catches that touchdown. You get that big interception by Burfict. All you pretty much got to do is run the clock out. You fumble, and two terrible personal foul penalties. I mean, it's how Marvin Lewis kept his job is one of the most confusing things in history I've seen so far.
Well, the crazy part is, as terrible as they've been and their terrible luck in the playoffs, they're still set up to do some really good things moving forward. You know, they're going to get Dalton back. They've got a lot of pieces. I mean, this is a good football
team. And they still elude next year in the playoffs. Let's just say it the way it's going to be. What makes you think anything different? They got talent. They have talent every year. On the roster is probably one of the most talented rosters in football. I mean, I would put them right up there with the Denver and New England's of rosters. But they just can't get it done when it counts. And teams like that, how their head coach keeps the job is shocking to me.
Well, we'll see. I haven't heard any rumblings of them wanting to move a different direction. Have you? Like I said, I think it'll be him, Lewis, another year here.
Cleveland, so.
Hey, let's move on to some, let's look at each game head-by-head. That covers the our injury report there. Why don't we move on to the game-by-game previews here, and I'll let you kind of set up the first one, and I'll comment from there.
We'll start with the first game, New England-Kansas City. I mean, should be an easy game for New England, in my opinion, especially if Jeremy Maclin doesn't play. Brady's in play here. The running backs, I'm not using. I don't think there's anybody outside of maybe James White that stands out. Steven Jackson will get most of the carries in between the tackles, but, I mean,
he hasn't looked great.
Even with a really tough running back situation, Steven Jackson, you're not using him.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman back comes in play. He's definitely a guy you're going to use. I like him, you know, a lot this week because I think he might be a little bit undervalued because of the injury history. Also, you got Gronk, so, I mean, there's going to be plenty of teams I use this week with the Brady, Gronk, Edelman, even against that defense, just because it just makes sense. I expect Brady to come out and put on a show this week. It's just a question of can Kansas City keep up. On the Kansas City side of the ball, we talked about Ware and West. It's just a question right now, and you really just don't know. It's just there's a lot of, you know, complete and utter injuries on this team that you really are going to be suspect when it comes to, you know, DraftKings, and even like if you're in season contests where you get to pick your own team, you got to look at Albert Wilson, Chris Conley. Chris Conley will probably be one of the number one punts of the week. It's just a question of.
Yeah, I think Conley's at the minimum there at 3,000 on DraftKings.
3,000. I mean, you literally can build a lot of different teams that look not as appetizing. The DraftKings finales this week, and I can guarantee you all them 10 guys who are going for $5 million didn't expect to be using Chris Conley in the, you know, with a chance to win that kind of money. But he's going to be on some rosters, and he's getting a lot of hype if Maclin doesn't play.
Oh, that's Kelsey, right. The continuation of the DraftKings Fantasy Football Championships is this week, and Condia's got a little bit of a lead. And I don't know if you heard that story, but, you know, I think I've heard from some sources that, you know, Condia played Woodhead, you remember, when it was kind of like crazy to play Woodhead, and Woodhead went off. And I think he was hoping for a late swap and got extremely lucky, is what I've heard.
Yeah, I think he was definitely, that's what I heard too. And
isn't that unbelievable?
Every once in a while with these guys, they play enough lineups, luck's on your side. It could be a $5 million, you know.
Guess it's better to be lucky than good.
With that kind of money on the line, first thing I would go is buy a Danny Woodhead jersey, if that's the truth.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Keep going.
Travis Kelce will probably be a number one tight end this week. I mean, just targets after last week. I think he'll be a little overvalued in this game because Jeremy Maclin just gives him a lot more options, and I can't see Belichick letting Travis Kelce beat him or even Travis Kelce do what he did last week if Maclin doesn't play. So Kansas City, outside of West, if Ware's out, and Chris Conley – Albert Wilson's a guy you got to watch because New England does get beat a little bit, you know, over the top. But Alex,
what about Kelce?
Throw the ball that far, and it's going to be cold in New England. I think this is a New England 34-10 game.
Yeah, I definitely got New England winning. What do you think about Kelce? Is he viable after his pretty big performance last week?
He's going to be the number one tight end. I mean, I think he'll be valued higher than Olsen. And Gronk is because of his price point at 5,100.
You think he'll be more owned on DraftKings? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he won't be my favorite tight end of the week just because I'm going to spend for Gronk this week. I'll spend for Olsen because Olsen, you know, had a solid game last time against Seattle. I know it's the playoffs. It's a totally different animal. But tight end this week is ugly, very, very ugly. Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, a couple players, it's definitely a tough position to really – you're going to spend money on it, so – Kelce will be,
unless you punt with a, you know, I suppose if Antonio Brown sits, you want to roll with like a Heath Miller. You know, that's the only guy I kind of saw on the board that could be a punt at the tight end who could come
through
for
depends.
You.
It really just depends on, I mean, Richard Rodgers is a guy who might fly way, way under the radar this week. I mean, really, I only count five tight ends you could actually roster. unless you really want to get suicidal with some of these guys.
Agreed. Yeah, there's not a lot of options. Not a lot of options at tight end.
Rodgers will definitely be the one that will probably be the fifth out of the group, which I kind of like a little bit, especially without Adams. He could get a lot more targets.
Yeah, it could be something. Gosh, he just never gets the volume. He's so tight end. They were so touchdown dependent.
Yeah.
Going back to the Chiefs-Patriots game, I thought you did a really great breakdown. I agree with pretty much everything that was said there. Kelce, I think, is viable, given that the Chiefs could be trailing a lot, and particularly if Macklin doesn't play, maybe that means more for Kelce. But the Patriots have got to see that, in that situation, Kelce's the only guy that can hurt him. So tough to not see the Patriots winning this game. I guess my question for you really would be, would you rather have Gronk or would you rather have Edelman in his first game back? Because I agree with you, Edelman could be very undervalued. I mean, this is a guy who was catching a ton of balls and getting a ton of work for them before he got injured in, week 10 or so. So, I think people have forgotten how effective Edelman was from a PPR standpoint.
Can I take both?
Well, I guess you could.
If I had a pick, I'm going Gronk.
Okay. Leaning Edelman, looking at some of my DraftKings lineups, we'll get to that in just a minute. Why don't we move on to the next game on Saturday, which is the Packers at Cardinals.
Arizona is definitely going to be the heavily owned, I would think, this week in most of, DraftKings and season-long leagues. I mean, Carson Palmer, I think, out of this whole lineup, will be the number one quarterback by a little bit of a margin. You got to like everything Arizona in this game. David Johnson, I would expect to be – I'd be shocked, honestly, if he wasn't 80 to 90% owned because, realistically, if Marshawn Lynch doesn't play, David Johnson is the clear-cut guy you have to use. $6,000
is a
ridiculously cheap price. I mean, I don't care if you have a Carson Palmer team. You pretty much have to use David Johnson. So I would expect him to be – I wouldn't even surprise me. 80 to 90%, I don't think is crazy. John Brown, Floyd, Fitzgerald. If I had to pick one I liked more than the other, it would be Michael Floyd just because he's just a little bit more he's been gelling a little bit more with Carson Palmer. But they're all viable. I mean, they're all, solid pieces. It's just a question of when if Green Bay can keep up or is going to be another beatdown like the regular season game was. So from an Arizona perspective, if my stack will probably be Floyd, Brown, Carson Palmer, I just think Floyd's going to be the safest bet out of all of them. I hate not putting Larry Fitzgerald in there, but I just think Floyd has a higher ceiling. From a Green Bay side of the ball, James Starks, Eddie Lacy, I don't like him in this game. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a couple guys that use him. But Starks will be the only guy I would consider. Eddie Lacy he don't catch enough passes to really warrant me thinking that, he's going to be a big-time addition this week. So from a receiver stand of the ball, I expect Arizona to get up at an early lead. So I think Cobb and Jones, they're all viable. I mean, I like this game probably as my favorite game of the week with all the uncertainty in Pittsburgh, with Denver, which we'll talk about later. I mean, I like Jones. I love Bram. We talk about, the guy's name we can't say, Abramitis. I like Cobb. I like Rodgers. I just think this game could be a high-scoring game, a 37-20 type of game.
Yeah, this is the highest total in Vegas for the weekend. I think the over-under on this one's, like 50 or something. So this is pegged in Vegas to be the highest-scoring game of the weekend. So definitely a good game from a fantasy perspective. I think your breakdown was awesome, as always. I thought I was going to be able to talk about my sleeper, Michael Floyd, but apparently that's not the sleeper. Cat's out of the bag. I guess so this late in the fantasy season, there's really a lot more consensus around players. Michael Floyd's a guy I've been on that I think, certainly from a, DraftKings perspective as far as cost and expected points and ceilings, Michael Floyd would be the guy that I'd be playing in Arizona. Again, like you said, besides David Johnson, I agree with you, David Johnson, you really got to have head and shoulders above any other running back of the weekend. Moving to the Packers side of the ball, you know, the great analysis. You know, the really only thing I probably have to add on to that, again, I guess I like James Jones, you know, at his price on DraftKings. The guy's gotten a ton of looks several weeks in a row. Packers finally show some life last week. I do expect the Cardinals to win this game, but, you know, the Packers could make it interesting, and that's what you'd kind of have to be betting on to play any fantasy guys on the Pack side. You know, last week you rolled with Aaron Rodgers a little bit at quarterback, you know, a little bit of a contrarian play that probably paid off for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it paid off a little bit, but Kirk Cousins' teams in a small format trumped me in most places because I faded Jordan Reed a little bit, and probably was one of the dumbest things of the weekend because I used Chris Thompson in a lot of spots. So that Jordan Reed.
And faded Jordan Reed, man. You knew they were going to go to him hot and heavy. But, you know, again, what Dave's talking about is on DraftKings that, you know, hey, you got to kind of fade some of these guys that everybody's on sometimes in order to win some of these tournaments. That's why Dave wins some of these tournaments that are a couple thousand people. I've never sniffed getting close to that because I'm playing too much chalk. But, you know, slightly different strategy in that I'll be a little more conservative sometimes and try to cash more often. Okay, moving on to the next game. The first game on Sunday, I believe, is Seahawks at Panthers. Great game. What do you think?
It's definitely the marquee, you know, game that you know you'd want to watch, I think, this weekend. A game that could really go either way. I mean, Seattle is the, you know, the bandwagon team. Everybody's a Seattle fan at this time of year. Their offense last week was dreadful to me. Realistically, I think all they really have is a couple deep shots to Tyler Lockett and obviously Doug Baldwin, who's playing great football. I mean, if you can spy Russell Wilson, contain him, if Wentz doesn't play, I think this is a Carolina, you know, a win in this game. I've been a hater on Carolina all season. I said they wouldn't win a playoff game. But as the season went on, they finally lost the game. I liked a lot what I saw in week 17 against Tampa Bay. I just thought they came out and made a statement that they're for real. You know, left no doubts about that game and really showed me that this could be, you know, a Carolina, you know, Super Bowl year possibly. I mean, I still don't think they're going to get by Arizona, but Cam Newton's playing great football. The week off bothers me with him more than anything because, you know, outstanding football all season by Cam Newton, the MVP in my opinion.
No doubt.
But without him, this team might not win three games. That's how valuable he was to this team. He's making these receivers who are serviceable at best into viable options every single week. Jonathan Stewart, I don't love in this game. I think you're talking about Jonathan Stewart for 5,800 or David Johnson for 6,000. Not even a question. 100% of the time I use David Johnson. I mean, if you want to use Jonathan Stewart to try to be different, like I said, I faded Jordan Reed in a couple of big spots last week and it burned me. I won't make the same mistake this week with David Johnson. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but you can't get too crazy, you know, in small format weeks. You got to use the guys who are sure things, as most people think. Receiver-wise, Ted Ginn's a matchup that I like in this game because Seattle does get beat over the top every once in a while. Greg Olsen's probably my favorite tight end of the week. On the Carolina side, punts, you know, guys who might be a little under the radar. Devin Funches, maybe a little bit. Still not a guy I'm going to, you know, roster in a lot of spots. But this is pretty much a Cam Newton, Ginn, Greg Olsen type of show for me. From a Seattle perspective, and Russell Wilson, I don't think I've used Russell Wilson on more than one DraftKings team all season. At the end of the season, it burned me. At the beginning, it really helped me. I mean, Doug Baldwin's really all he has, in my opinion. And a good defensive coordinator should find a way to take him out. If you could put Davis or Luke on him, you should be able to, you know, shut Russell Wilson down a little bit. And if Lynch plays, obviously it's a big addition, but he didn't play last week, you know, on Friday. So I expect him to be out again this week. I expect his time in Seattle to pretty much be done. Not many ring endorsements for Marshawn Lynch in Seattle.
Yeah, you'll play Christine Michael?
No, I don't. Like I said, this is a David Johnson, and then, you know, we'll talk about a couple of running backs in the later game that we'll use, but this is David Johnson. If Ware doesn't play, West, I mean, running backs, they're ugly this week. I mean, the Eddie Lacy's, the Michaels of the world, not guys I'm going to be using.
Yeah,
no matter
like
what.
I got a little more faith in Michael perhaps than you do. Again, you know, just the volume alone. I picked the Seahawks last week to win this game, at least correctly got this matchup right and picked the Seahawks to win this game. But, boy, they didn't look so great last week. Again, what a difference a week makes with the Panthers sort of marinating and waiting for them. Ugh, it seems like this could be a Panthers win. But if the Seahawks are able to pull this out, I think that means good things for Christine Michael. In a little better offensive game, hopefully, than last week. Couldn't get too much uglier than that from a fantasy perspective. So, heading back to Carolina with some better weather, I would expect some bigger numbers. Of course, if the Seahawks get down, I think that means, good things for Doug Baldwin. From a matchup standpoint, I think that, what you're pointing out, Doug Baldwin's not a huge talent, should be able to game plan and take him away, but Russell Wilson is just so darn good at improvising and doing things that aren't drawn up on the XO board that really makes it a little bit more difficult to stop. Same thing with Cam Newton in that regard. But really, like you said, I think the marquee matchup of the week, I like Greg Olsen a lot as well. And Baldwin, I guess, is the other guy I'm kind of considering. And Christine Michael, while he's not quite on that level, is definitely a guy I'm considering at running back, just because, like you said, there's not a ton of options. Let's get down to the final game of the weekend, which is going to be Steelers at my Broncos. I will be in attendance, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better be there. I mean, is there a bigger
I don't miss a big playoff game at home, man.
I mean, Peyton Manning better not lose this game, because if he does, his career will always be tarnished. I don't see there being any way possible they lose, but Roethlisberger, if he plays, best case scenario, 60%, 70%. I mean, Antonio Brown, same thing. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get from these guys. I like Fitzgerald Toussaint in this game. He looked very, very solid last week. I mean, he'd definitely be a running back I would use, especially in a game where they could be behind. The Steelers' defense is going to have to make plays. I mean, they're an opportunistic defense. And Peyton Manning, I mean, realistically, only played two quarters in a long time. So you really don't know what you're going to get from him. And it's going to be cold in Denver. There's really no doubt about that one. We talked about Heath Miller. I mean, if Roethlisberger plays and he can throw the ball, Martavis Bryant is a must play. If Antonio Brown doesn't play, Marcus Wheaton, Darius Heyward-Bey, they're all in play. I like Heyward-Bey as a total punt that could be a huge sleeper in this game, even against.
God, is he 3,000 minimum?
Yeah. He's another 3,000, minimum guy with Chris Conley that, trust me, this week when you build your lineups, you won't be spending all the money, so don't think you have to, because guys like Chris Conley and Darius Heyward-Bey are going to win you a lot of money this week if you gamble on them. From Denver side of the ball, because I know you want to talk about this game, I mean, I'm not using Peyton Manning. I just don't think you don't know what you're going to get out of him. I like Demaryius Thomas in this game because when Manning plays, he tends to target Thomas a little bit more. At running backs, could be the million-dollar decision. Hillman or Anderson, who are you using? And, against a defense who is susceptible against the run, that could be the biggest decision of the weekend. I like Ronnie Hillman a little bit more than Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Thomas, Sanders, they're top five, top six receivers this week, all together. Owen Daniels and Vernon Davis, who clearly has been a stone cold bum for Denver. But
well, it's difficult for you to say his name, I noticed.
This was going to be my favorite game of the week. Hopefully Roethlisberger and Brown are out there. I like seeing competitive games. And I said last week the Steelers would beat the Denver Broncos. But right now, I don't see there being any way possible they do with all their injuries.
Yeah, it does seem like a little bit of an uphill battle. But, I will point out that if Antonio Brown plays, one thing I've got to disagree with is if he plays, he's not at 60%. I mean, that means he's at 100 or pretty darn close to it. I mean, we're talking about a concussion. We're not talking about a bum wheel or a bum leg here. So that's one thing to consider is that, with these concussions, it's either kind of all or nothing. I think the bigger issue is Big Ben and what you think of his health. Because they're certainly, I don't think, going to be able to run the ball super effectively against the Broncos in Denver. So you got to think it's going to be coming off somebody's passing, and hopefully it's Big Ben for their sake, I suppose. And again, if Antonio Brown does sit, if he plays, he's the man, and they're going to continue to go to him, I think, particularly when the routes are shorter and Big Ben has a little bit more difficulty pushing the ball down the field. I think you'll even see even more Antonio Brown. So if Antonio Brown's out there, he's the man. If he's not out there, you know, I like Martavis Bryant from big play potential. And I even like Heath Miller as a potential kind of punt play at your tight end. You know, he's a guy who could get, you know, a lot of catches. Maybe he doesn't have a huge upside from touchdown and yardage perspective, but kind of a sneaky play. I like that. From the Broncos, you know, I would play Peyton. He's in play for me from like a DraftKings perspective. You know, one of the cheaper quarterbacks of the weekend. Steelers are susceptible. Peyton's really the unknown, so it's a bit of a gamble. But of course, if the Steelers aren't able to put points up, I think that, you know, why wouldn't you be more conservative in your play calling from Denver's perspective, unless you're really just trying to hype the Peyton Manning legacy and put up a blowout win, which I totally not out of the question. You know, Peyton in his years of NFL quarterback has been a bit of a run-it-up kind of guy, so not totally out of the question. And, you know, I think the upside really is in the receivers in the Broncos offense. I think you hit it on. Demaryius Thomas is my preferred, but Emmanuel Sanders blew up against the Steelers last time. You got to think there's some extra motivation there, but I agree. I'll play Thomas, but don't be surprised if Sanders blows up again. Again, I think you hit it on from the running back. I like Hillman. You know, last couple weeks, these guys have been neck and neck. When we played the Steelers last time, it was mostly Hillman. You know, granted, CJ hadn't really kind of come on down the stretch like he has, but I expect them to be, you know, about a 60-40 split in favor of Hillman. So if you're going to play one of those guys, I think Hillman's the guy. You know, has an upside potential of breaking a long one and getting 100 yards and a touchdown. So anything else you want to cover on those, or you want to talk about DraftKings? We only got about 2 minutes left.
How excited would you be to see Peyton Manning, Tom Brady for the final time in Peyton Manning's career in Denver? That's a game you almost have to go see. I mean, there's
Oh, I'll be there, needless to say. Good Lord. Yeah, but it's going to cost me. It's going to hurt my pocketbook a little bit more if that's the matchup. But that's looking clearly like the matchup. And, you know, that will be awesome and a chance for Manning to catch up to Brady a little bit in that legacy count, because Brady's running circles around him, even though it is, you know, a real marquee matchup and from a fan perspective, an awesome thing to watch. So I'm really excited about the Broncos' potential all of a sudden. You know, looking at the field, this is a winnable tournament suddenly for the Broncos. I was thinking a week ago, oh, man, we're the number one seed, but it's a tough tournament to win. Yeah, New England didn't look great down the stretch. I think they're the big wild card this weekend. Let's see how great they look. If Edelman comes back and they look like they were looking midseason, you know, they're the clear favorites. But, you know, if they stumble a little bit, Denver could handle them at home. You know, luckily, we got the home field, and, you know, we've gone to Foxborough the last few years and been eliminated. But when in Denver, it's a bit of a different story. So what are you looking at as far as DraftKings? Any other sleepers that we haven't chatted about you want to give a shout-out to?
Not many. Most of the guys we talked about already. I mean, I'm pretty much going to build most of my teams this week around the Arizona-Green Bay game. I mean, I know that'll be a popular pick. I might lean a little bit to
like
Green Bay.
I like Denver and New England, you know, if you're going to look at some of those guys.
Yeah, New England, and I'm probably going to use a lot of Brady, Gronk, Edelman stacks and a lot of Palmer, Floyd, Brown stacks. Mixing in,
hopefully,
you know,
with
guys.
Demaryius Thomas. He'll be on every roster of mine that I play with.
Demaryius Thomas will be on every single roster that I have, because there's really no way to spend. Yeah, he'll be on every single roster I have. And Ted Ginn's another guy I like a lot this week.
Yeah, geez. What's Ginn at again?
Ted Ginn. Let's check. I have it up.
God, he's a guy, you know, I just hate going 5, that direction. He only gets a couple of receptions. They could be for long touchdowns. So I don't know. I guess the reason I'm not considering, I got James Jones around that same price, but. Hey, guys, I think we got to leave it right there.
He's right there.
Yeah, we got to leave it right there, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and great luck this weekend. Hey, by the way, I think DraftKings might have some stuff next week for the championship week. I you know, almost see it, the writing on the wall. They might have some additional stuff, but this could be the last week, I suppose. Last week, they ended in this week. You know, of course, the championship week, only 2 games to choose from, but still legal to do daily fantasy on just 2 games. So we'll see what happens there. But great luck to everybody in the divisional round, okay?
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.